Our scripture this morning comes from Philippians, the second chapter, beginning with the fifth verse. Paul reminds us, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to be the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. And in Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. Have you ever done the right thing, but for the wrong reasons? Have you ever done the right thing, but for the wrong reasons? I got my hand up because I've had some time to think about this. And one of the big times in my life that jumps out is when I was in college. A pretty upperclassman came and recruited me to become a camp counselor for a week-long camp of kids that had physical and mental challenges. Well, I thought to myself, getting a chance to spend a week with her? That sounds good, whatever it is. So I got myself all together, agreed, signed up, and then guess what I found out 2 days before the camp started? She wasn't going. All she was doing was recruiting. So there I am, questioning my decision, uncertain about my ability, and regretting the decision that I said to say yes. I was in the midst of doing the right thing, but for the wrong reasons. And I want to say this to you, is that the reasons of why we do the things, the motivation behind what we do, are just as important as the things that we actually do, right? In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, it says this. It says, if I speak with the tongues of angels and man, but have not love, I'm nothing but a clanging cymbal. I'm doing the right thing, but for the wrong reasons, and it doesn't work out right. I'm going to tell you what happened to me. I went there doing the right thing for the wrong reasons, and I had a bad attitude at the beginning. It showed. Here we are in the midst of our 40-day challenge, trying to read Jesus' words. And that's the right thing. But I want to make sure that we're doing the right things and also doing them for the right reasons. Because it is possible to do the right thing for the wrong reasons. It could be possible to read Jesus' words but do it for the wrong reasons, like, well, I'm trying to earn my salvation, or I'm trying to make God love me more, or I'm trying to look good in the eyes of people, right? Those are the wrong reasons to do the right thing. But the right reasons would be, well, you know what? God has done so much for me. God loves me. And maybe this is the way that I can be the representative that God calls me to be. As a matter of fact, in order to be the best representative of Christ we can, we need to know what he said and obey what he said. That's doing the right thing for the right reasons. That's what we want to look at. As we've been looking at Jesus' words, we've broken them down into five categories. And those categories are being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going. So every time that we hear some of those words of Jesus, we can look at it in these categories. And they've kind of had a flow to it. The first week we said, when we spend time just being with God, one of the lessons that we learn is that God loves us. God loves us. The second week, we learned that God loves us not just because we're so special or because we're so great. As a matter of fact, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, and yet God forgives us. And then this week, I want to say because God loves us and because God forgives us, our natural response is to serve. So kind of the overarching theme of today is figuring out how can we serve with purpose? How can we serve with purpose? I think deep inside of us, we all like the idea of service, but sometimes the practice of service is what's hard. Linda Hoag is the church administrator here, and she's also the captain for the Race for the Cure that we host each year. It starts like this. Linda Hoag walks on behalf of, anybody remember who she started walking on behalf of? Betty Jo York. And then if you think about it, Betty Jo York, she passed many years ago. But Betty Jo York started to walk because she was walking in memory of Edmund Jordan's mother, Mrs. Jordan. And so we've got this history of carrying on. And so Linda, if she hasn't already, she might ask you, hey, would you be involved in the Race for the Cure? And this is what happens for me personally. When she says it, I'm like, yeah, I'm all excited about it. Yeah, we're going to do this. It sounds great in the idea of it, right? But then what happens is on that morning, the alarm goes off at like 5 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden, I'm like, man, what did I sign up for? All of a sudden, I'm just like, what? And my mind can come up with all these excuses. Is your mind like mine? Man, you know what? You really don't have time to do this. It's too early, or it's too cold, or it's too this and that. A million excuses. And then once you get motivated and then actually do it, you end up having a blast, right? And you're thinking, why was I ever concerned about it? Why was I ever so worried about it? But it's getting past ourselves sometimes that has to happen. And I think this applies to almost any area of service that we do. We have an initial excitement about it, but then when it actually comes time, we get a little bit worried about it. Here's what I want to say. Service doesn't come naturally, but it's more important than you know. Service doesn't come naturally, but it's more important than you know. There's a chart called Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. And this is one of those psychological things that talks about the things that we desire or the things that we need. And it's kind of like a base of a pyramid that keeps growing. Each step helps to affect the other step until you get to the top. And the first step of the things that we need is this. We need basic physical needs. I need food. I need water. I need clothing. I need shelter, right? And then the next thing, once you got those, is you need safety, right? I need to know people can't just come in and just kill me and just take it all. In order for me to reach my full potential, I need safety. And then the next thing that we need is this, love and friendship. I need to develop relationships. I also need accomplishments. It's kind of like I need to have a job. I need to have a reason, right? And then when you have all of that, the next thing that you need is to reach your potential. How can I be the absolute best? Well, ever since I was in school, in college, this was Maslow's hierarchy of needs. But I found out that they've just recently added a new top to it. So the highest thing is no longer reaching your own potential, but the next thing is now transcendent needs. So each of us, if we have all of that, if we reach our full potential, the next thing we'll want to do is want to go to something that transcends beyond ourselves and ask, how can I help you? How can I help to meet your needs? How can I help you with your basic needs of food and water or safety? Or how can I be a friend to you? Or how can I help you accomplish or reach your potential? And it's interesting that even psychology says to us that at our very best, our greatest desire, our greatest need is to reach beyond ourselves and to serve others. Now, it's interesting to me that science would say that because the Bible has been saying that all along. Jesus himself says, I didn't come to be served, but I've come to serve the world. We need to understand who we are. Our purpose always flows from our identity. And our scripture lesson for today reminds us that our identity is in Jesus Christ. Look at how it begins. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in what? Christ Jesus. So our identity is in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God. So first of all, He was in the form of God. So if our identity is in Christ, it reminds us that you're something special, that you have been made and created in the image and likeness of God. There's something awesome about you, just like there's something awesome about God, or about Christ. But look at this. He said, even though he's in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but instead he did what? Emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant. During a job interview, Johnny was asked, Johnny, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? Johnny answered, in the mirror, like always. If we're Christians, where do you see yourself? In Christ, like always. He's our identity, and he reminds us that we're created in the image of and likeness of God, but he reminds us that we take that and go one step even further, and that's where we like Jesus and serve. Last week, Jennifer reminded you that the Son of Man came not to serve, but to be served. And a challenge for us here in the church is this. Sometimes we can get dissatisfied with the church. Our dissatisfaction can be like we don't like the preaching, we don't like the music, we don't like the groups, a ton of different things that we don't like. And here's a challenge for you to think about it. Sometimes that occurs because we're looking at the church backwards. Our backwards view is to look at the church like we look at the world. What am I going to get out of it, right? Say that one more time. What are we going to get out of it? But the church is completely different. The church is a body of believers that are called to go out and to serve the world. And so if we're a part of the church, we got to look at it in a different way. The church isn't created to serve us, but we are created to go out and to serve the world. And so if we come and our focus is on how good is the preaching or how good is the singing or how good is the group or how good is it this or that, we're totally missing the point, because the point of it is, how good are we going to be to go out and to serve? What are we going to do? Not what am I going to get out of it, but what am I going to put into it? There's a well-known story in John 4 where Jesus meets a woman at the well. Jesus tells her everything about her, and Jesus offers her living water. It's a well-known story, and yet there's a part of that story that's not as well-known. After the woman leaves, the disciples come back. They've gone to town and gotten food. And here's the scripture. Here's what it says. Meanwhile, the disciples besought him, being Jesus, and said, Rabbi, eat here. But Jesus said to them, I have food to eat which you do not know. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him some food? Where'd he get food from? Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays. What's he doing? Hey, how did this happen? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the what? Will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. What Jesus is saying is this. He's saying is what nourishes me is to pour my life into the life of others. What nourishes me is when I actively serve. What energizes me is helping others. Some of you already know about this in your life. How many of you know a guy named Dick Robinson? Anybody know Dick Robinson here? I see a lot of hands. Okay. Dick Robinson attends our first service. And Dick Robinson, I don't know how old he is, but he can't be as old as he really is. He's like 90-something, right? How old? 92, what I say in the second service stays in the second service. You know, don't tell Dick Robinson I'm saying this, but how does Dick Robinson stay so young? 92 years old, he does it by serving. He serves Meals on Wheels. He serves by mentoring a young man. He serves by volunteering at the Cupboard, a food pantry. He serves by leading the men's Bible study each Saturday. But most of all, he serves by giving three lovely ladies a ride to church each Sunday. Dick calls them his harem. Wait a minute, I did talk about doing the right thing for the wrong reasons, right? So, no, I'm just teasing, but if you were to ask Dick about that, he would say that it keeps him young, that doing that activity nourishes him. And I want to say this, if you ever want to find your purpose, find your service. If you ever want to find your purpose, find your service. Find a way to give. Claim your identity. Here's what it says in Matthew 5, 14 and 16. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but rather they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Therefore, so let your light shine before others that they might see your good works and glorify your heavenly Father." Here's what I'm getting out of that. Your identity is in Christ, and Christ's plan is in you. Let me say that again. Your identity is in Christ, and Christ's plan is in you. Christ gives you the identity, but then Christ is also counting on you to go out and to help others to know God. And the way we do that is through our works. Let me remind you again about what the wrong way to serve is. The wrong way to serve would be a service in which we're trying to save ourselves. It would be a service that was out of guilt or obligation. A service where we try to serve to make our own name great. But our scripture reminds us that we serve in order to make God's name great. And let me just remind you of the end part of our scripture that was talking about in Philippians 2. It says this, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that" what? "Jesus Christ is Lord." Why? "To the glory of God the Father." So we talked about the wrong way to serve. Let me just close this by giving you some of the right way to serve. Here's the right way. Pray that God would use you. I've talked about this, praying every morning and saying, "Okay, God, here's my hands. Use them for your service. Here's my mind. Let them meditate on your things. Here's my feet. Take them in the direction that you would have them to go." Then the next thing is discover your gifts. Each and every one of you is good at something. God has blessed you with something. Find out what that gift is. Next, look for a need. What's a need that you can help address? Sharon and some of our youth are getting ready to go and do the youth corps. And every day, they got 10 jobs, the work sites that they got to work on. And it's not just the going and doing the work, but it's also having the eyes that look and say, "Here's an area we can help. Here's something that we can do." So you got to have the eyes that look beyond your own needs. Oh, what am I going to get out of this? To how can I help somebody else? And then here's another thing. Find people to help you to meet that need. We don't have to be superheroes by ourselves or lone rangers. We work better together as brothers and sisters, and we can help to meet needs. And then the last thing I want to say, in order to serve in the right way, humble yourself. Humble does not mean that you think less of yourself. It means that you think more of others, and that's doing it the right way. The Bible says this, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." You might have every excuse in the world, but God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. You might think it's impossible, and that's right. Some things are impossible for man, but with God, what? All things are possible. I saw a post, maybe you saw this post as well, a number of you, I think it was even Lila Jordan. Jordan, I might have got this off your Facebook page. It said this, "Kids don't need a perfect mother, they just need a joyful mother." I thought, wow, that is powerful. But then I thought about it in our own a category. That God doesn't need perfect servants. God needs servants who are serving for the right reason. I became a counselor for kids that had mental and physical challenges for a week, and I admit I did it for the wrong reason. I was trying to talk to some girl, and when she didn't show up, my attitude was bad at the beginning. But God got a hold of me that week and changed my attitude, and those kids got a hold of me. And I started to have the time of my life. My favorite was a 10-year-old girl named Carrie, and Carrie's disability was that she couldn't speak. She didn't talk out, and she had an amazing personality. She was full of joy. After the camp was over, about a month later, I called Carrie's parents, and I asked if it was all right to come for a visit. They said yes, gave me directions. I drove about an hour to go and visit with them and Carrie. And Carrie met me at the door, and she ran forward and gave me a great big hug. And then she went to her room and didn't come back. I'd driven an hour, so I just kind of sat with her parents, and I was like telling them all about camp and all the fun we had, and I visited with them for a while, and then it was time for me to go. Parents call up and they say, "Carrie, Pastor Joe is about—I wasn't Pastor Joe at that time. Joe is about to leave. Don't you want to come by back?" And Carrie comes back down. I'll never forget this. She's carrying a suitcase. She'd been packing her suitcase the whole time. She thought I'd come back to take her back to camp. That didn't drain me. That didn't exhaust me. That nourished me. That filled me. And here, 30 years later, I'm looking at that as a wonderful, great opportunity that I had. See, because in my service, I helped to find my purpose. Can I tell you something? When we serve with a mighty God who encourages us, lifts us up, and never leaves us abandoned. Amen.